You are listening to 89.5 KPOO San Francisco, and welcome to Reality Sandwich, where every Thursday at noon, we serve up a palatable taste of the truth on topics of the mind, body, community, spirit, all six areas of the healthful living model, and you can read more about that at healthfulliving.org. My name is Martin Matthews. I'm a certified clinical and medical hypnotherapist, and most importantly, an advocate for healthful living with Healthful Living. And Reality Sandwich airs every Thursday at noon, and you can hear more about the show at realitysandwichradio.com. Today, we're very excited to bring forward to you, as I'm here in the studio, of course, with my co-host, Julie Matthews.
I'm Julie Matthews. I'm a certified nutrition consultant. And today, we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics. I'm going to be a host and a guest today.
That's right. Dual function. I'll do my best to lead this conversation from behind the mic, but I'm very excited because today, we're going to be speaking about autism awareness, but specifically awareness around autism, that autism is, in fact, treatable, that there are things that people can do, and that it's very quite substantial what people can do, and that in the mainstream and in so many walks, people are not getting this information, they're not hearing about it, and it's absolutely imperative that more and more people realize that there is help and treatment for autism. So we're going to take a quick musical break, and we'll be back in about 1 or 2 minutes, and we're going to have an entire show here about a huge event that's taking place locally here in the San Francisco Bay Area in Vallejo this Saturday, as well as we'll be speaking to one of the leading biomedical autism doctors, and we'll be speaking also with Julie Matthews about nutritional intervention for autism. So hang tight. Welcome back to Reality Sandwich. Today we're speaking about autism and autism awareness. Currently, autism affects 1 in 150 children. I believe the numbers are like 1 in 96 boys. This epidemic has been spreading across the planet and touches everyone across the planet. There's no culture, no race, nobody that seems to be impervious to what's going on with our children. And one of the major things with respect to the autism epidemic and information regarding autism that we feel absolutely compelled to share with people here at Reality Sandwich and all the other events that we do with Healthful Living is that there are treatments. There are effective treatments. Mm-hmm. And there is an entire cadre of leading doctors, researchers, scientists, and other leading professionals who have been studying this and looking at autism as a whole body disorder and actually providing effective treatment such that children are indeed recovering.
Which is very different than what you'd hear if you are in the mainstream or if you go to a pediatrician. That's not the standard message that parents are hearing.
Right. And
unfortunately.
We'll speak today a little bit more about why that is, and we'll be learning specifically what are some of those treatments, what are some of the results, what is possible to do, and we'll also be speaking with Ish Turner, who is in the studio here with us now. He's a passionate dad, and he has organized a phenomenal autism awareness event out in Vallejo. And we also have on the line Dr. Kurt Woller. He is an osteopathic physician who specializes in traditional osteopathic medicine, cranial osteopathy, and integrative medicine. And his primary focus is treating children with autism spectrum disorders. Dr. Woller is the medical director at Still Point Center for Integrative Medicine down in Murrieta in Southern California. And he's also the medical director for an online biomedical resource, a new amazing resource coming online called Autism Action Plan, which provides up-to-date instruction and educational information regarding biomedical testing, therapies, and discussion boards for patients and physicians as well. And further, he's the Autism Outreach Clinical Director for the Great Plains Laboratory Outreach Clinics, and we'll be speaking more about Great Plains Laboratory and their involvement in biomedical testing for autism and such. So let's see if we have Dr. Woller on the line with us. Are you there?
I'm here.
Hello.
How are you doing today, Julie?
Great, thank you.
And thanks, Martin.
Hi, Dr. Woller.
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining us. I also want to reformally introduce my co-host, Julie Matthews, mm-hmm. who is going to be really serving a dual role today. But my third guest, who is the author of Nourishing Hope for Autism, Nutrition and Dietary Intervention. Julie is one of the leading experts in nutrition and diet intervention for autism and speaks at national conferences. And she's going to be speaking today also as well. So welcome
Great.
To the show, Julie.
Thank you.
Dr. Woller, I want to start with you.
Sure.
So many people listening have no idea that autism is indeed treatable and that recovery is possible. and that that autism is a whole body disorder. And you've been working in this arena, I believe, now for more than 10 years. You must have worked with, you know, I don't know how many patients. You can give us some of that. But I'd like to start off and share with our listeners a bit of a background about what's going on with autism today and how indeed it is, in fact, treatable.
Sure. Well, you know, one of the things as a physician that I practice is something called biomedicine and biomedical intervention and treatment for autism. And what biomedicine is a medical system that understands that for the majority of children, teenagers, and even adults on the autism spectrum, that really what they're dealing with is a true medical disorder, not just a neurodevelopmental problem, which is, you know, traditionally what's discussed from traditional medicine. And what that means is a medical problem. Many of the kids that we evaluate have underlying immune problems, underlying digestive problems, food sensitivity issues, metabolic, biochemical, and genetic problems that are actually a contributing issue with respect to their overall health, and really, you know, in many kids is either a causative or a contributing problem to their autism. So when you deal with them from a medical standpoint through various diagnostic tests, various therapies, you know, Julie is, you know, well-versed in many of the dietary therapies, but other types of biochemical, nutritional, supplemental, and sometimes medication therapies, in many kids, their autism can either be removed completely or the child just becomes more healthier, more, you know, better cognitive abilities, better attention, better focusing. You know, not every child is going to be recovered, but many of the kids can significantly improve. And we certainly know that in some, their autism can be reversed. So, you know, that is where a lot of the area of research has been really going on for a number of years and continues to move is in that direction. And you're even seeing that now more in the traditional area where they're starting to look more at genetics and understanding that the environment can influence genetics and hereditary factors can certainly be a causative factor for a lot of these kids' issues.
I think that's a really good point that you made because a lot of these kids, you know, a lot of parents tell me that recovery isn't necessarily their ultimate goal. They want their child to be healthy and they want them to be happy. And a lot of times people don't realize that children with autism also have a lot of physical challenges. Chronic diarrhea. I mean, imagine any of us with chronic diarrhea day after day, year after year. We're not going to feel good. How can you focus when you're working with a therapist if you're feeling bad? And so these things have a profound impact just on their health and happiness, but also it then often translates into improvements in how they're doing and their ability to pick up some of these therapies more easily.
And you're absolutely right. You know, one of the things that I have seen is the digestive problems that many kids have. And here's sort of the unfortunate situation and how this works. You could have a child, and I've seen this in my practice, I mean, almost on a daily basis, many kids coming in with gut problems. You know, they either have chronic constipation or chronic loose stools. The kids are bloated. They have a lot of bad gas. Some parents will even describe that their children have a very strange or bad odor that comes from their breath. And they've been to doctor after doctor, and everyone has told them that, oh, it's just it's no problem. It's very normal. It's a typical thing seen in autistic kids. And one of the things that I realized is that it isn't. If you look at the classic, you know, diagnostic criteria for autism, nowhere in that diagnostic criteria does it talk about chronic digestive problems, you know, chronic loose stools, bloating, gas, constipation. And when you have those underlying physical problems, in many kids it causes pain. So if a child is chronically constipated, they're not going to feel good, as you just mentioned, Julie. And that can certainly correlate with behavioral problems. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of the kids can't speak, so that they're not verbal enough to say, hey, you know, my tummy hurts because I'm constipated. Instead, what happens is they become cranky. They start to tantrum. They become irritable. And in extreme cases, we've seen kids headbang or become aggressive because they don't feel well. One of the problems that I've seen for years is that when a child has these underlying physical problems, is that once the label of autism is given to them, it's almost as though the medical community forgets to do any type of clinical testing. Mm. You know, well, why not run a stool test? Maybe this is a child that needs to see a gastroenterologist. Maybe they have underlying inflammatory bowel disease, which is not uncommon. if you remove that autism diagnosis and now you're taking your child to your pediatrician, they'll try to do some diagnostic testing to figure out what's going on. But the minute that label is placed, these kids are forgotten about, for the most part, from the medical profession.
Absolutely.
I want to ask you about that. What are the common diagnostic criteria that the standard medical system is looking at?
You mean from a classic autism standpoint?
From a classic autism standpoint.
Well, there's going to be language issues. So the child is either not speaking or they have very limited language. There's going to be cognitive issues, attention focusing problems. Many of the kids have very odd behaviors, strange behaviors. They seem to be disassociated socially. They're stimming behaviors. The kids will either spin or they play inappropriately. So they're looking at it more from a pure neurodevelopmental standpoint. But they don't understand is that many times the neurodevelopmental behaviors that they have are stemming or coming actually from underlying biochemical imbalances.
I noticed a lot with my son that once we figured out his allergies, that his behavior changed.
Mm.
Once we figured out not to give him the juice he wanted and the potato chips and things like that, his attitude definitely changed. Without knowing, like you say, without knowing, having those stomach issues and the distraction with your physical body, you can concentrate on understanding language and things like this.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear a little bit about your story. You're a dad, and what's your experience with your son? What did you try? And
well, you know, he was diagnosed early on. We were lucky enough that grandma worked in sort of a medical field, so she was able to give a pre-diagnosis and said, go check him out. So before he was about 18 months old, we had him tested, and he had 7 out of 10 of the problems. So, but the thing is that I went through, as a dad, I went through the depression or the denial, and you know, this was my boy, and no, nothing's wrong with him. But very quickly, not very quickly, but it actually took me a little while to face the fact that, you know, autism is real, and I didn't know what it was. Never heard of it before. No one ever talked to me about it. And one of the things I say now, that if you don't know what someone with autism, but you will,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's growing. When I first found out about autism, the number was 1 in every 150, 185, something like that. And now it's 1 in 96, and it's only been a couple of years. So, growing up, watching him grow, he grew almost like a regular child, mommy, daddy, playing with the rest of the kids. And then it seemed almost overnight that he disappeared on us. He started staring out the window, and he couldn't say mommy or daddy anymore. He couldn't, he didn't want to play with anybody else. He didn't want to be touched. He didn't want to participate in our world at all. So after the depression, mom got into a big fight. You know, she wanted to fight autism. She took it on like Mike Tyson. She just went right at it. And what I didn't understand, I had to learn by trial and error, which means that, you know, when you go to play with your son, there are certain things that you can and can't do. But you learn how to play with him. And I think the best advice I was ever given was to go into his world and he'll come out in yours.
Mm.
And that's all we do. That's all I do is I play with him. I'll do whatever he wants to do. And what I found is that he figured out I'm not alone.
Mm. Mm.
I can't talk, but at least there's somebody I can communicate with. And that started to help with bringing him back. And then learning about the biomedical testing from Great Plains Laboratory and things like that. Once those food allergies were found out and we changed his diet, it made all the difference in the world. We attended the CHI program with Children's Hospital, and that gave us a start. But again, they didn't address the stomach issues. They didn't address the biomedical issues. So once we stopped attending the CHI program and got into the testing and changing his diet, he just started to come around, and now he's mommy and daddy again, and he's still very limited in his words, but at least he's there. He used to scream walking into a grocery store. I was shown a DVD when he was about 2 and a half, and the DVD let me in on what it would like to be, what it would feel like to be autistic. And what I experienced was when an autistic child walks into a grocery store, you and I have the ability to filter out the sounds and the people mm-hmm. and things, but they hear everything at one time very loudly.
Mm.
So of course they're going to cover their ears. Of course they're going to scream. You don't want to. They don't want to be there.
Right.
And you can't understand it if you're not educated.
Mm-hmm.
And so you think your son or daughter is throwing a fit, and they're not. I mean, well, they have every right to do so.
Right.
So instead of being embarrassed about it, you are very compassionate about mm-hmm. it, and we started to play with him, take him to parks and get him slowly. Well, we brought him home first. And part of the Sunrise program teaches that you want to get him comfortable at home with mom and dad and brothers and sisters. And then you can start creeping him back into the world. And now we just took him to Marine World just a little while
ago.
Wow. Yeah.
We've done a number of things. Like when I take him around in a grocery store, he will hold my hand. He will listen to me. All I have to do is kneel down and look him in his eyes, and he'll know I'm there.
Hmm.
So my story has just been about looking inside myself and being somebody you're not. I was the over-masculine dad. But you have to kneel down and get into your kid's world and embarrass yourself. You know,
mm-hmm.
you have to play till you're sweating profusely. he has been the push behind this whole autism awareness event we're putting in Vallejo.
Sure.
And
it's just phenomenal to hear, you know, the ability to stop and look at what is. And then say, well, how can I work with what is?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just left, and I'm sure many of us in the world are left scratching our heads at how the entire medical community can still be looking at this, you know, strictly at the behavioral outcomes of an undefined circumstance on their part,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
All these different behaviors, and they call that autism, when there's all this information about what's going on physically, you know, mm-hmm. with these children, biomedically, and even sensorily. There's so much data, you know, about what they're processing, all these different factors. And I bring this up because so many people, you know, are get their information, are only exposed to, quote, mainstream data. And that world is just beginning to kind of realize, mm-hmm. you know, the larger truth of what's here. And people absolutely need to know.
Well, you want to believe your doctor, you know.
Yeah.
Sure.
If your child has a cough, where do you take him? To
right.
your doctor. Your tooth hurts, you go to the dentist. So if you notice your child has like Dr. Waller was talking about, gastro problems, or the stool is too loose, or so you want to take him to your doctor, but now we're finding out that you can't, their word is not gospel.
Mm.
You have to go to the internet and research things. But it's not readily available to you unless you seek it out.
Right.
And it is out there. There's Julie's book out there. There's
Dr. Waller.
What? Yeah.
Yeah. On this point, so yeah, is there like a punch list of things? I think you mentioned earlier some of the physical symptoms and physical features. Are there things that if people are listening and they're saying, you know, wait a minute, that's going on with my child, that they can be curious that there may be some, you know, physical situations that can be addressed.
One thing I wanted to, you know, a couple of things I want to point out, when you really get, and I've heard this a lot, even from other physicians, is how could food really create a problem?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
how
mm-hmm.
could that really create an issue and contribute to autism, or what we, you know, what we classify as autism or behavioral problems? That's impossible, right? That's entirely nonsense. Well, it isn't. You know, if you really get down to what we're doing, whether you take a supplement, whether you, you know, remove certain foods, you're talking about chemicals. And the food, certain food, has a very profound chemical effect on the body. I mean, we eat food for nutrients. We get our vitamins and minerals, fats and amino acids from these foods. And these things is what feeds our health. And many of these foods and the chemicals in foods helps to produce adequate levels of brain chemicals. I mean, that's really common knowledge. It's well established in science, and it just makes common sense. Well, there are certain foods that can also cause a toxic effect in the body. We know that the addition of chemical additives are not natural agents that our body normally, you know, deals with. So these things can have an influence on underlying chemistry. Well, let's take a real quick example. This is something I know Julie does every day in her practice, is the gluten casein-free diet. I mean, if you talk about some traditional biomedical therapies that tend to work consistently well for a large percentage of kids, the gluten casein-free diet is a foundational remedy. But why? You know, what is gluten? What is casein? Gluten is a protein found in wheat. Casein is a protein found in dairy. But in some individuals, and it's not just autism, even in patients with bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, they know that there are these food proteins can have an adverse chemical effect on brain chemistry. So many of the kids have problems with attention, sensory issues, focusing, because the food proteins are not a nutrient to their body. It actually acts as a chemical blocker. It interferes with normal brain chemistry. So we know that the gluten casein-free diet can help a large percentage of kids improve in their overall behavior, improve many times in their sensory output or their ability to integrate things sensory, and to overall just function better. But then you also get into some of the things that go on in the digestive tract. You know, we know that from our digestive system, this is where we absorb food, but it's also the place that we get rid of a lot of toxins. I mean, we're all doing this on a daily basis. You know, you eat food and eventually you have a bowel movement, and that's a normal process of eliminating toxins from your body. A lot of people don't realize that, and a lot of physicians don't understand, is that yeast and bacteria overgrowth in the digestive tract can also produce chemicals that interact and interfere with normal brain chemistry. Yeast, for example, is a huge problem in autism. And we see it in a lot of other health conditions. But the organism called Candida can have a very profound effect on a child's ability to integrate sensory-wise, attention focusing, and behaviors. A classic thing that I see with kids who what we call have yeasty behavior is they lack eye contact, they become inattentive, they start to withdraw, and they become goofy, giddy, and silly, almost like they're drunk. But when you get down chemically and biochemically, what's happening in the body is that the chemical breakdown and manipulation of the body that the yeast organisms produce have a very similar effect to alcohol. So all of these interactions that we see from a scientific basis are very much rooted in biochemistry and science. It's just being understood in a much more broad sense. So we have ability to test for these things. I mean, Great Plains Laboratory, which is going to be the main lab at this upcoming event in Vallejo, has specialized tests that can look for these chemical effects with respect to yeast and bacteria. They have specialized tests that can look for various forms of food sensitivities that we use from a biomedical standpoint through dietary modification, yeast treatment, that in many kids helps overall with their autism condition. I mean, I could go on and on and on about other types of therapy and avenues of treatment, but just to understand that we're talking about chemical and chemical interaction in the body, that it's yes, it's sort of outside the normal realm of what traditional medicine is looking at, but it's not outside the realm of science because it's deeply rooted in science.
Doctor, I wanted to ask you, these allergies, these food allergies, even though your body may be allergic to them, like, and for instance, I'm lactose intolerant, but it doesn't stop me from wanting ice cream really badly.
So, right.
But these foods that have a toxic effect on the children, is not going to stop them from wanting it. And what I've found is a lot of mothers, because the children are very picky about what they eat, they still will give them these foods. And what is your opinion on how to replace these foods? How to properly read the labels and things like this?
Well, you know, the first thing is, as you know, a child doesn't, you know, a child's going to want what they want. mean, they're going to, you know, I mean, the whole child's motto is me more now. I mean,
right.
that's the basic, I mean, my kids are the same way. I mean, you can sit there and say, well, it's not good for you. They don't care. I mean, they just want what tastes good. You know, so if they have a chemical addiction to the food, that's going to be more of a higher brain effect because their brain is craving it from a chemical standpoint. But let's face it, kids, I mean, they don't care. They just want what tastes good, what looks good. So as a parent, you know, you have to take, you know, ownership and say, look, you know, this isn't healthy. We're not giving this to you. It's just like, you know, anything that you would have to do for a child, you have to regulate what they get and what they don't get. You know, from the standpoint of understanding, you know, how to read the labels and what to look for, there's a lot of great resources out there. And one of the best is the information that Julie has, you know, with her book, Nourishing Hope, but also the websites that she has. I mean, she can really, you know, go into much more great detail about what to look for and how to integrate these changes into your life. And I think, Julie, this would be a perfect opportunity for you to kind of discuss that.
Sure. So, you know, yes, kids like dairy foods and wheat foods. All of us do. But interestingly, these kids, when you have a problem processing the foods, you even usually love them more because, as Dr. Wooler said, you're often addicted to them. So it's literally like being on morphine or something like that, where you love these foods. And you eat them and you feel really good in the moment, but you don't realize that in 2 hours it's going to create a tummy problem or you're going to, you know, get a headache or feel bad in some other way. So a lot of times these kids eat nothing but dairy foods and wheat foods. And so when it comes to asking mom or dad to give up these foods, it's often even more difficult because those are the only foods they eat. But to me, that's an even more important reason to get rid of the foods, because that's, to me, usually a pretty clear sign that they're self-selecting, because somewhere in there they're craving these foods that are not being able to be processed properly.
Now, Julie, dietary interventions generally considered like, you know, the first thing to do, right? When people are learning about this information and they're beginning to gain awareness that there's treatments available, and one of the initial things that's recommended is change the diet,
mm-hmm.
right? So what are some of the initial things that people, like if they're just listening now, can
go to the tub and throw everything away.
You know, the first thing I do is definitely have people go to the cupboard and look for all the artificial junk.
Right.
So that's the easiest thing to get out. You don't even have to start with gluten and casein. Most likely you're going to want to get there, but that might be something that parents need to go to the internet and look up or meet with a practitioner or some other support in order to have that happen. But for the artificial junk, you can get rid of the Skittles, the artificial dyes, the artificial flavors, the artificial junk in cereals and soda pop and all of that stuff, because even neurotypical kids, they just did a recent study showing that these ingredients create hyperactivity in your typical neurotypical child. So can you imagine how they're affecting someone that isn't able to process these chemicals the same way someone else does? So that, to me, is the really easy thing to do. You can find a substitute chip that doesn't have mm-hmm. MSG. You can find substitute candies that don't have all the artificial junk. Now, hopefully, we'll move away from that and we'll do less sugar in the diet. And hopefully, everybody will try gluten-free and casein-free because it has such a profound impact. But I think that one step is something everybody can do for any children, but especially children on the spectrum, and see some really good results.
Right. Well, as Dr. Wooler was pointing out earlier, this is a biochemical situation.
Right.
Right, and everything that we put into our mouths or into the mouths of our children is affecting that biochemistry.
Right, and people don't realize that those artificial chemicals have to be processed by the liver. And children on the autism spectrum, as Dr. Wooler mentioned earlier, often have challenges around detoxification and digestion and processing some of these foods. So it's even more important for them. And I mean, I've seen kids where they'll get a small amount of these chemicals and they will be aggressive for 2 hours, inconsolably crying for 2 hours. You know, and if you think that you're getting that a couple times every day, you're going to have an up and down day every single day. And that's just a simple thing that you can do.
I have a funny story to tell you. My son, now we have since detoxified his body. He's this is probably the cleanest kid in the world. One day I had a soda, because I like Coke.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a soda sitting on the counter, and he came over and he wanted the soda. So mm-hmm. he pointed at the soda, and I said, no, that's not for you. So he took me into the room because he wanted to show me something on the computer. So as fast as he showed me he wanted to deal with something on the computer, I turned around and he was back running toward the kitchen. And I thought he was, and I couldn't find him. And I see him behind the counter. He's got the soda turned up. And so immediately there was a difference in his behavior.
Wow.
I mean, I guess because he was so clean, and then to get that instant, you know, jolt of sugar and high fructose syrup, corn syrup and all that stuff, it just, and so that to me confirms everything that we're doing. You know, moms and dads out there, I mean, if take your kids off the chips and the soda and the popsicles and stuff for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then give them one day and see what happens.
That's a really good point, because if you're giving them every day, you don't notice the up and down. Mm-hmm. It's only after you've taken it out that you notice the big response. So sometimes parents will say, oh, well, it wouldn't make a difference for my child. Well, you can't really tell if it's making a difference until you really take it out and try. And do a trial, like you said. You'll learn interesting information quickly.
Right. So, Dr. Waller, in addition to the initial dietary piece, if you could just take people through a little bit about, like, what are some of the other steps, if someone were to come in, that begin to get curious about biomedical treatments?
You know, when I have people come to my practice, one of the first things, I do a traditional medical intake. You know, I have all the medical forms. I want to know about birth history, past medical history, medication. You know, how did the child develop? You know, what were the developmental milestones that were met, maybe weren't met, or was this a child that had a regressive pattern? Let's say they regressed, you know, after a series of vaccines, whatever it may be. I want to know that kind of information. I want to know what's going on physically. I want to know what are the main challenges that the child has. You know, do they have pretty good social skills, but are they really lacking language? You know, where are some of the strengths and weaknesses for that child? And then, you know, what we'll do is we'll start to evaluate what has been done medically. You know, if a child is on a diet, let's say a gluten casein-free diet, then we can look to incorporate more things. If we're sort of starting off fresh, that's one of the first places we'll start, is to look at diet, look at supplements as a way to just fill in some gaps. I've often looked at biomedical, particularly the foundations of what we do, is really the foundations of good health, as Julie has mentioned before. It's about improving diet, improving nutrition, and improving health. Well, one of the ways we do that is by implementing some of these therapies. So the gluten casein-free diet we've talked about, basic supplements is another one. I mean, we can really make an assumption that most of us, because of the food that we're exposed to, or the chemicals or the environment we live in, are probably not getting optimal nutrition.
Yeah,
and when you have kids who are very picky, I mean, you know, I've had parents say, my kid eats five things, you know, a ding-dong, a Twinkie, you know, two glasses of milk,
and
some chicken McNuggets, okay? I mean, it doesn't take a rocket science to figure out that if that's what their diet is all about, they're going to have some nutritional deficiencies. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I do is just work on basic supplements. When I say basic, a multivitamin, a multivitamin, some calcium, magnesium, just filling in holes nutritionally. You're just plugging holes nutritionally. And in many cases, that helps to bring some of these kids out of their fog, out of their box. They're more aware. They're more integrated. There's better attention and focusing. It's not to indicate that that's a magic bullet, but it's a piece of their overall puzzle. So diet and supplements become a very basic thing that people can do, many times even on their own, I mean, with the help of somebody like Julie or other, you know, websites or just books. One of the other things that we look at is doing more biochemical support through something called methyl B12 therapy. And this is a huge therapy, because when you really get at the true underlying biochemical issues that are going on with the majority of kids on the spectrum, it has to do with the way their body integrates chemicals that influence their body's ability to detox. But it also has an influence on attention, focusing, environmental awareness, language skills. And so the methyl B12 therapy is a huge foundational piece of what I do in my practice. And you really could take those three remedies, the methyl B12 therapy, diet, and basic supplements, and go anywhere in the world, no matter what culture, what language a child, or what language that culture speaks, and get good, consistent results with kids across the board. Again, I'm not talking about the magic bullet or magic cures. I'm talking about good, true foundational therapies that help a large percentage of kids. Mm. Now, you have to eventually step into some testing, and that's where it becomes important. Most people who are dealing with their pediatrician or general practitioner may have had some testing done on their child. Maybe they even went to a neurologist, and a neurologist ran a metabolic profile or something called an organic acid profile. Maybe did an EEG to rule out seizures. And those are usually, you know, typically done as a basic workup for a child on the spectrum. They even maybe did a genetic test called Fragile X. And that's all great information. The problem is it leaves a lot of information on the table that hasn't been evaluated. And where you really need to look at with the specialty issues that many of these children have is working with specialty labs. Labs that know how to analyze different types of chemical reactions in the body and how to integrate that information into a more comprehensive approach. Because a lot of things, just a lot of doctors, it's not that they're not willing, they're just not educated to know what to look for. And so places like Great Plains Laboratory have that type of specialized testing. And so that becomes a critical part of what we do as a group of physicians and what I personally do in my practice. It's taking that information and then integrating it into a comprehensive program for a parent to implement with their child. And that's one of the things that we're doing with the website that we're creating, the Autism Action Plan website, is to take that information and really empower parents with the information to help their own kids in their own home. Because one of the problems we've had, and one of the things that I even know in my own practice, is there's only so many kids that I can see in a day, in a week, in a month. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of people out there who need this help and who need this information. And so the whole goal is to be able to help that mom who's in South Dakota who doesn't have a biomedical physician in her area, but maybe has a doctor in her area who's willing to help. It's just getting them the information, and that's what it's all about. It's about education, information, and empowering parents to know that there's a lot that they can do to help their child. And there's a lot that can be done from a very basic standpoint that can help a lot of kids become healthier, more integrated, and just become, just become healthier individuals in all.
Absolutely. And to that end, there is a wonderful autism awareness event taking place this Saturday, September 20th. It's going to be held out in Vallejo at Children's Wonderland. And I've got the flyer right in front of me. It says right here that our mission is to grant 10 children an opportunity to participate in an outreach clinic provided by Great Plains Laboratory that you were just speaking about. They're going to be granting to include funding for biomedical testing, test panel designed to determine abnormalities associated with intestinal pathogens, food allergies, immune deficiencies, and more. And that you're going to be there, Dr. Kurt Walter, biomedical specialist, using the Defeat Autism Now approach, will develop a treatment plan for each child individually according to the results of the testing. With proper testing, nutrition, therapy, and supplementation, children can find their unique path to recovery. So this is a huge event. There's going to be games, food, all kinds of different things. And
yes,
all initiated and organized by a passionate dad.
Yes, and we have him here. So Ish, tell us more. I mean, this is a huge event to try to put together. Obviously, you felt some, passion or desire to do so. Tell us about how you started this and...
Well, I want to say it's all my passion, but it's not. It's mm-hmm. the passion of a lot of parents that have come forth mm-hmm. and just given me their positive energy. Mm. I started this as something for my son and figured out that there are thousands of children out there. And if we can just do our small part and help a few children, if I can change one person's life, if I can give one mother some hope, to help their child see the light and come back to them. I think that's worth it. This, mm-hmm. this autism event, stemmed from one day I was going to hold I own a barbershop over in Hercules, and I was going to hold a one day, just cutting everybody in, was going to donate the money to get testing for my son and a couple other children. But what has happened is mothers have stepped forth and they just came and hugged me and kissed me and wanted more, and so here I am 6 months later, putting on this big event. with the help of Dr. Waller and Julie and Great Plains Laboratory stepped forward. Autism Speaks was helping us out. The city of Vallejo, the recreation district, has actually donated their park.
Wow.
So this is a new park that was they spent $2.5 million rebuilding this park. It's a 50-year-old park. Just the trials and tribulations of getting it done, but it's worth it. It's worth it. When your child can, when you haven't heard dad for 2 years, and you hear it, starting to hear it again, there's something to it. You know, the testing and the changing of the diet definitely has a lot to do with it. You know, I heard a man say that if you would accept your child as though they will not change, accept your child the way they are right now, then you are on your, that's the first step. And I think that was another stepping stone for me, is just saying, well, okay, well, if he never changes, this is my boy. And I want you to bring your children out and have fun with them, play with them, get in their world, get in this park, get in their world, take a day off and step into your child's world, have fun, sweat, get on the swings, do whatever you have to do, and and the money you're spending there is going to help change other kids' lives. We're doing this because we just want to, we just really want to do our part in the world and change a few people.
Great, great.
What's the best way for people to get more information to find out about, you know, where the event's going to be held or timing? It's 11, I'm seeing here it's 11 to 5 on Saturday.
Yes, and I have a little details on the phone number. For more information, you can call 866-747-7204. And also I see myspace.com/OurFaceOfAutism. So it looks like you can get more information as well there. And remember, it's Vallejo this Saturday, the 20th, at Children's Wonderland Park on Glen Street, 360 Glen Street. And it's going to be a great time. It's going to be really fun. I'm looking forward to being there and just seeing all the kids, of course.
Seeing a bunch of kids. Bunch of kids and bright balloons. We just want to have fun.
That's great.
And then 10 families, I guess, will be selected, and we'll get the opportunity to get testing. And then they'll be participating in an outreach clinic at which Dr. Waller will be flying in to attend. I think that's in Sacramento. Is that right?
Absolutely.
That's right. Yeah, it's in November. It's an outreach clinic. And I've been the clinical director for the outreach program for Great Plains Laboratory now for a number of years. And this is an outreach program that goes to many different states, serving, you know, working in underserved areas, bringing the testing that's available to, you know, parents who need it for their kids. I have been doing a lot of these around California, and I've been to Sacramento now a number of times over the past few years. And they're really great. The staff of Great Plains is tremendous. They bring a phlebotomist out who is very skilled at, you know, doing the testing with kids. Some of the kids will actually get blood testing done at the outreach clinic. Other parents will take the kits and go back, you know, to their home and have it done locally. And there's just a wide variety of things that can be looked at. And, you know, but it's a way to get started. It's a way to open that door. It's a way to begin the process. It's very straightforward. And they turn out to be tremendously successful. And with the event this weekend, you know, 10 families having the opportunity, you know, to come in and be tested, to have their children analyzed, is a tremendous, tremendous benefit. And so that will be in November. I'll be flying up to Sacramento for that. So make sure anybody out there listening, if they want to get more information on that, they can go to greatplainslaboratory.com, contact them directly, and they can give you some more information about that.
Well, it's like you said, Dr. Waller, it's just taking those first steps. It's just when you come out, there will be more than enough help out there and information for parents to take home. We're not trying to give you a one day have fun and then you won't have any information later. We want to change your mind. We want to change some households. We want you to go home and throw away the chips and the Cokes and the popsicles. I'm sorry for those dads out there who love those things. I personally went through that issue. My mom just came home and emptied the cupboards on me. But you definitely have to come out and get the information. It's there for you.
Great.
And it's definitely exciting to see the community support that you've received.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and just your own passion to take action and do something. You know,
do something.
This is what we're seeing, and Julie and I have been receiving inquiries from people really all across the country that are beginning to put on local events, gather people together, sharing information, sharing what they've learned, what's been helpful, and there just seems to be this emerging movement among people that are getting this information to do what they can to share it with others to help.
And it's pretty much always parents.
Yes.
If you think about it, that are putting it together. You know, we went to Canada. There was one family, a couple, decided mm-hmm. to put on a big event. And, you know, we went to Pennsylvania, and there was mm-hmm. another family that started a foundation and put on an event. So it's these parents, just like Ishir, who want to do something, want to help others, want to learn more for themselves. And they're really the ones, I mean, everybody that has children has a busy life already. Well, when you have a child with autism, your life is full.
Extremely busy.
And to take on any sort of an event like this is really an enormous amount of work. But parents seem to do it because of just giving back to others and how good it feels. And also just even organizing and coordinating support for themselves, too.
Right.
It's really,
right.
really great.
We've got about a minute or so left. Dr. Waller, you're still on the line with us. Any final comments before we close out the show?
Well, you know, one thing for people to get more information, my practice website has a lot of information, articles, videos that people can watch, and they can go to mystillpoint.com. That's mystill, S-T-I-L-L, point.com. The other thing is I wrote a book, and it's free. It's called 7 Facts You Need to Know About Autism But Probably Weren't Told. And if you go to www.autismactionplan.org, this is a place where parents can enter their name and email, and they can download that book for free. And it talks, you know, an overview, really, about what biomedicine is and, you know, how to incorporate some of these things. That will be the website that will be the biomedical resource website that we're looking to launch here in the next 2 to 3 weeks. So when they go to that site now, it's just a place to get the free ebook, but that web address will become the actual biomedical resource website that people can come back to at a later time. So I'd encourage people to do it. Really, it's about educating yourself, believing in yourself, knowing that there's things to do. There's thousands and thousands of parents have gone down this path before. There's many physicians out there, many scientists who know the truth about what biomedical therapies can do for autism. There's hope. There's help. Autism, you know, is recoverable. In many kids, it can be reversed. So move forward with that with confidence, because there's a lot of people out there to help you.
Dr. Kurt Waller, Still Point Medical Center, thank you so much for connecting with us today on Reality Sandwich.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you, Dr. Waller.
Thanks. Bye.
Take care.
So for more people who want to find out about the Autism Awareness Event, again, that phone number is 866-747-7204. And again, it's this Saturday, the 20th, from 11 to 5 in Vallejo at the Children's Wonderland Park.
We've been speaking today about biomedical treatment for autism. I've been here today with Julie Matthews. She's a certified nutrition consultant specializing in autism spectrum disorders.
Oh, and if people, I don't think I've given my website, so if people want more information, my autism-specific website is nourishinghope.com, and there's a ton of free information for people that want to get started. There's scientific studies and references so people can see that there's real science behind this, and a lot of good information there.
And we were also speaking with Dr. Kurt Waller. He's a biomedical specialist in autism treatment, and his website is mystillpoint.com. And also, we're very delighted to have here in the studio with us passionate dad and community organizer, Ish Turner. And he's the organizer of the Autism Awareness Event that we've been speaking about out in Vallejo this Saturday. And I just want to point out here at the final moments of the show that there's a lot of talk in the media about, you know, what's caused this autism epidemic. And we very intentionally today chose to not bring up that subject at all, because certainly we could do a number of shows on it. And it's not that it's not important to investigate that topic. It's just that it's doubly and extremely important to share the information with people that there are things that can be done and that it is not a hopeless condition. And for many, 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 there are biomedical treatments that are tremendously helpful. And even, as Julie pointed out earlier, just making some immediate changes to diet can be helpful for these kids. That plus a whole host of other things, and we implore you to check out some of the web domains that we've spoken about on this website. You can listen to this show and any past show at realitysandwichradio.com.
And I just wanted to thank our in-house guest here, Ish, for being with us. Thank you so much for sharing your story and everything you've been doing.
Thank you guys for having me.
Reality Sandwich will be on hiatus for the next 2 weeks. We'll be playing best of shows as Julie and I are heading off to a couple of autism conferences. We'll be back at the beginning of October and look forward to catching up with you then. And remember that all change begins with you. You've been listening to 89.5 KPOO San Francisco. Thanks for listening.
From Sherman, socialist, back to the scene, right wing.